AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be back with you here after a fine weekend in the Twin Cities. Matt, Brett. I'm very happy, by the way, Brett. You've never had Scott Walter on with you when you're here, right?
I've heard you had him on the air before, but not when I've produced.
Scott Walter, the host, they ran for 3 seasons on History Channel, America Unearthed, where he looked into historical truthfulness, and he's just a great guy. We haven't had him on in a while. I saw that he opened up a Kensington Runestone Welcome Center in Kensington. We'll talk about that a little bit. He's also doing some stuff with the Super Bowl. He's writing. He's got new theories. We'll talk to him a little bit later on the show. I haven't had him on about a year, year and a half, right? We had him on after, I think, the second or third episode of the third season aired, and that was his last season there. But we'll talk to him, find out what he's been up to a little bit later on. Have you, Brett, gone out and done any of this stuff around the Twin Cities with the Super Bowl coming in?
I'm trying to avoid that like the plague.
I am officially done. Okay, I can't say it. I've got a good chance. I got a few tickets to go to some concerts later this week, so that might change whether or not. But if I can help it, I'm not going east of Highway 100 again.
That is a great plan.
So yesterday, my wife and I bit the bullet. We got up early. As heathens, we skipped church, and we went over to St. Paul first, and we knocked out the Winter Carnival. We went to the Ice Castle there. It wasn't a good few days here for robots. I'll explain more in a second here, but we went out. The Ice Castle, first of all, looks really nice. If you've not been out there, it's pretty. It's not as big as some of the other ones have been. I thought it was actually prettier than the one they had in 2004 with the NHL All-Star Game, because that was just, as we've talked about, that was basically just a big wall with a stage in the middle of it. I mean, it was the one that was over by the Xcel Energy Center. It was not. I was there at that one. I didn't think that one was that great. This one actually looks more like an ice castle. How nice. It's lovely. Was out there. Not many ice sculptures in Rice Park, though. I noticed that. And that's kind of a downside, because usually those are one of the better parts of it. I don't know if they melted because of that 150-degree day we had, and then they had to get rid of them. But not much else there. They were doing, on the backside of the park, towards the Science Museum, towards the river, they had a robotic snow removal competition with all these colleges that were in there. Kind of like Battle Bots, only the most boring version of that show you've ever seen in your life. Seriously. And it gets worse. The robots, as they're setting them up, and we waited for 45 minutes to sit. We waited as the scientists are measuring out the distance to make sure everything is legit and fair and equal. And first, my first thought was like, okay, wait a minute. Are these things only good for an evenly flattened 2 inches of snow? Because I got news for you. We don't get too many of those as far as this goes. Because this might not be a really good, viable product. I could already tell that. The fact that it was taking 45 minutes to set up. And then when it started the grandeur and glory, whoa, boy. Oh, my goodness. It started off as slow as you would imagine. I'm like, oh, the best part of all was there was a shovel not 10 feet away from the robot just taunting these kids. It's like, you know, if you want to clear that snow, there's a shovel right there. You could have had, you got like 8 guys on your little robot crew over there. One of them could have grabbed the shovel, cleared the snow, done, winner. No, you had to go do it with this. All right, grand, whatever.
That involves physical labor, though, to pick up a shovel.
It hurts, the sun, ew. For God's sakes, man. Get the shovel. So anyway, we decided in our fury, we left. We went over to St. Paul, the state fairgrounds. They had the snow sculpting contest. There's a face, an old face with hair, and it's just this guy looking up at the sun. My God, is that incredible. A few other sculptures, just magnificent. They had the sledding hill there, the Vulcan. It's the Vulcan Snow Park is how they call it. But be careful because it's slippery, that's for sure. But a lot of fun, kids, tons of kids out there. And then I decided to do it. I went to Super Bowl Live, which is the Super Bowl Live is the Nicollet Mall element of it from 5th down to 12th, basically, where you can get through, I think at 10th, you can get through at 6th, but that's it. You can't get through at 8th, and I don't believe you can get through at 7th either. It's a bit of a mess. It's nice. It's amazing. There's some cool things down there. The Prince display in the first floor of the old Macy's building is nice. They had some nice things. They got trucks stacked on top of each other for a video game console, which is kind of cool. Tons of concert venues. They got the skating at PV Plaza over by the Orchestra Hall, which is always nice. They have a cross-country mountain hooked up where you can ski down the middle of the street and then throw. It's like a Super Bowl biathlon. You can throw the football through the hole. Yeah, that's going to go well, especially when we get a few drunk Philly fans in town. Good thinking. That won't go horribly wrong. Here's the one problem I have with Super Bowl Live, okay? The way that they have set up the traffic movement, there are pinch areas that you can't avoid. Do not set up cookie sample guy there. Yesterday, all of a sudden, we are in the worst kind of, pedestrian traffic from the worst day at the state fair, Christmas at the Mall of America, the worst you ever see. And I'm like, what in the world is this? And it was a narrowed area. All these people are trying to get through. All these people that are stopping and going, look at buildings and lights. Isn't this amazing? Yes, it's a city. Keep moving. I will gut you if you don't keep moving. But the real problem was, and I can't blame anyone for stopping, they put the cookie sample person right there, right where it all came together. So, of course, are those cookies? Oh, for God's sakes.
No, they're not.
They're just styrofoam we've colored. There you go. So just a massive bunch of. And I'm saying, okay, this is mostly Minnesotans. It is 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so pretty much most of us are sober. Most of us, not all. Most of us are sober. Can you imagine what that intersection will be like come Friday when Patriots and Eagles fans and their horribly corrupted livers are going to be in town trying to, let's go skiing. Why are we stopped? Patriot guy sucks. Okay, fine. And I can just, No. Bad idea. Move the cookie girl, okay? Just move her. Go. They'll take the drunks with them, okay? There's plenty of side spots you can put the cookie kids. Put them over there. Today, I went over to the Mall of America because the kids had, of course, I've only had like 4 vacation days since winter break ended because, God forbid, they actually get, working. They had a grading day today at the school, so I had the kids. So I went over to the Mall of America. Robots, once again, not having the best time here. There are all these Microsoft robots that are all over the mall, and they're not near. Okay, when you see a robot, you're saying, cool, man, robot. But then it just destroys your dream because it's like you think to yourself, I'm getting an iPhone, instead it's a Zune. It's like it doesn't really do anything. Make me a sandwich. I didn't understand you. Make me a sandwich. You want to dance? Oh, shut up, robot. But the worst part of all was most of these robots don't seem to be working that well. So they're all like on their sides, tipped over, where they're kind of those like, drunken fans themselves. They're the drunks we have in town right now, the robots at the Mall of America. They're kind of tipped over everywhere. And I actually had a conversation. I've convinced a robot we are going to go knock off a liquor store later on today. I will post the video of this later.
Oh, you took a video.
I took a video with it to the scornful look of the Microsoft employee. That's not what these robots are for, sir. I'm sorry. You're violating the robots. Stop violating our robots, sir. Sorry.
That's what AM950's Matt McNeil is known for.
That's what the crimes I'm going to. But I kept walking in to the robots, and I'd grab like the little robot hand, and I'd just say, wow, that's soft. Just let it lie like that. Just, wow. How tight's that grip? Wow. This little buddy can come home for me with how much money? Great. Can never mind. No, no, no. That's
there's
not,
some jokes I could throw there, in there, too. No, we can't no, go.
There,
yeah.
there's. I do not want this to be the last day I'm on the radio, so no. Enough with robot violations. No, we had... Oh, and I can't wait for Vern to start sending me GIFs and email memes over this one. Thanks.
Think any will involve Trump on these?
No, I won't. I can already see where this is going.
Yeah.
Love me, Matt. Tell me, human, what is love? Media is set up at the Mall of America. It is the only media people I saw today who smiled are some clowns from one of the New England, from the Boston stations. And they're happy. I mean, they're in town. I think that they're in a good location. Mall of America. I mean, if you're a media row and your media row is at the Mall of America, your food choices alone are pretty stellar. You got a lot of options on the table from every variety, vegetarian, steaks, everything. Everything is covered in there. So you can't feel bad about that. And you want to know the truth? It is a pretty good locale. If you've never been to the Mall of America, I mean, I'm spoiled because it's there. We go there occasionally, especially winter, to walk around. You know, it's not a bad location. But the only media people who were smiling were the two guys from this radio station. Not the one radio station that's getting the attention because the one guy badmouthed Tom Brady's daughter. Not that station, but there's apparently another station that's in town. And those guys are like, hey, this is great. We're having fun. Everyone else looks like they're on a funeral dirge. That it's just god-awful. And they're all over the place. Saw Jim Rome, the national sports guy. He was broadcasting from on top of Moose Mountain. Good thinking. How did you get there?
Well, Jim Rome kind of deserves that.
Jim Rome. I'm over on the fourth hole. Jim Rome. Have a take. Don't suck. There you go, Jim Rome. The Sirius XM guys have taken over the first floor on the north side. And that's actually a pretty impressive setup. But the TuneIn app is our app, right? That's our app.
Correct.
Where you can find our show broadcast. They have put the poor TuneIn guys in like the loneliest place. You know, he's like over by, you know, Spice Gumdrop, you know, the Shoppe, and, you know, Country Boot Haven. I mean, they put him over and prom dresses, and they put him off by himself. And he's just one guy sitting there at a desk, and I'm like, you need someone to interview? I could sit down and help you out. But he's up on the third floor. He's way off by himself. He's further away than the Twitter guys are. Because Twitter's got their own setup up there.
So they have no media guys other than him over
just
there.
Just one guy. Hi. I was just sitting here. Man, I wouldn't mind going to be able to go get some food, but I'm here by myself.
Somebody talk to me.
He's just like, I felt so sorry for him. I'm like, everyone else is over talking to major celebrities, big sports people. You saw tons of them over there. And big signs saying no autographs, so don't ask for autographs. But there are tons of people. He's just off by himself. We got to get him someone. All in all, it was pretty good. The Deportes people, all the Spanish broadcast guys, because football wildly popular in Mexico, they were there too. And that was really cool, kind of seeing the international flavor of it a little bit. I didn't like see the BBC or anything like that. Thank God I would have just sat and mocked them. Hey, British guy, you can use your hands in this game. Just be that guy. I've done. I'm walking away. No more robots. No more heading out the door. I'm not going east of Highway 100 again until after this week's over. I will say this one thing. I am very critical of a stadium. $2 billion is way too much in taxpayer money to be spending on a football shrine to a billionaire football team owner, period. Stand by that today. The Super Bowl committee, the volunteers they have are exceptional. Everywhere I went downtown, at the Mall of America, everywhere you went, smiles on their faces. How can I help you? Where do you want to go? Let me show you anything. They are there to help, and they are doing an amazing job. And so a big round of applause for them, because if this town's going to be standing after this week, a lot of it's going to be the fact that those volunteers were so good and were able to help people out, diffuse any problems, and be the problem solvers that they seem to already really be embracing as far as that job goes. So a big salute to them. I wouldn't want to be stuck outside. They have two guys. You know the zip line runs across the river right next to Hennepin Avenue Bridge? The zip line's right there. They got two guys over by the Federal Reserve Bank, which is on the west side of Hennepin, right before the river. There's no one out there. They're just two guys in their purple jackets like, hi. It's got to be cold as all get-go. And they're out there with a smile on their face. So, bravo. Nicely done. Well done over there. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. On to some more important business when we do return. Lori Swanson makes a decision. She is not running for governor. I'll talk about that. Also, ag concerns, Scott Walter, more. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hey Minnesota, Norman Goldman here. The furniture business is one of those industries that's full of fake sales and false discounts. This is the age of the hashtag illegitimate fake president, and haven't you been lied to enough? That's why you need to check out Habitation Furnishing and Design. Habitation offers some of the coolest furniture in Minneapolis at fair prices every day. No fake sales, no phony discounts, just honest, intriguing, and really unique furniture. Check out Habitation on Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park or visit HabitationDesign.com.
Fact is, it's January in Minnesota, and we spend a lot more time indoors. And we're breathing a lot of dry indoor winter air. But don't worry, Standard Heating has the solution. If you install a new furnace this January, you'll not only stay warm and comfortable, you'll also get your choice of a free air purifier or humidifier. Oh, and Standard Heating also offers 0% interest and $0 down on approved credit. Suddenly, this winter doesn't look so bad. Find out more at StandardHeatingDeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
Lowry Hill Meats, your neighborhood full-service butcher shop that works directly with family farms. Using whole animals gives Lowry Hill Meats the benefit of preparing custom cuts and dry aging. They offer beef, lamb, goat, pork, and poultry, including whole duck, roasting hens, turkey, quail, pheasant, and Cornish hens. Their sausages are made fresh in-house weekly using 40 rotating recipes. Try their handcrafted sandwiches. They are second to none. Lowry Hill Meats is located at 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis or online at lowryhillmeats.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Vladimir von Surikov, the director and president of the Museum of Russian Art, which hosts the finest collection of Russian art in North America, as well as an award-winning gift shop, Izba. Unique gifts, artworks, and artisan-made products are sourced from artists and jewelers who use traditional Russian materials to create stunning pieces for purchase. Izba Gift Shop is on Facebook and Instagram. Our museum is at tmora.org. Visit Izba Gift Shop for that special gift you will cherish.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Do want to report, we still do have a situation going on over at the U of M. It sounds like a hotel over there. Officers from Minneapolis and from the University of Minnesota Police Department remain in negotiations Monday morning with a man who's holed up in a hotel room on the University of Minnesota's East Bank campus. The man has two people in the room with him. Graduate Hotel said Minneapolis Police Spokesman Scott Soroka. No one's been hurt. University of Minnesota Police Chief Matt Clark, he declined to provide specifics. They don't feel as if this is a concern for the public, but roads near the Graduate Hotel have been closed down. The 600 block of Washington remains shut down at 8:30 a.m. Just checking the reports, KSTP is reporting that it is still going on right now, this whatever this situation is. So obviously that is something to be concerned about, and something just be advised of is that situation going on. We'll have to find out more about that as it goes through. I got this email myself. Minnesota Attorney General Lori Swanson basically made the point she is not going to run for governor. I'm a candidate for re-election as Attorney General. Now, can I first of all say to Lori Swanson, thank you. You are a brilliant Attorney General. You are absolutely a freaking brilliant Attorney General. And I don't generally tell people who I feel can have a career moving up the chain to stay back where they're at. But frankly, I feel as if there is no one I know of who could possibly run for the AG's office that I think could do a better job than Lori Swanson is right now. I think she just does a great job there. And the fact that she's going to run and stay in that position, I'm not saying they shouldn't be a primary. That is not what I'm saying. If there wants to be a primary, be a primary. She has done a tremendous amount of work for the state of Minnesota. She has been a fairly effective counterpunch to the Republicans in the Minnesota legislature. I think it's a good office for her to run for re-election. I think she is she's very good at it. So there's going to be a primary, I believe. Let the primary happen. We move forward. All right. But that is the announcement that's came on out about that. I also wanted to make sure I mention a story, which is, it's got a lot of implications here. And maybe we'll, after Scott Walters on the air, we'll talk a little bit more about this. The collapse of the North American Free Trade Agreement President Trump has vowed to scrap could create an incredibly profound disruption on U.S. farmers. A trade agreement has to be fair for the United States, but we also want to keep the exports going to the farmer. Once again, the unreported element of NAFTA, especially towards the conservatives that all said, yeah, rip up NAFTA. Farming and the ag sectors have become somewhat dependent on NAFTA. They have tremendous exports with NAFTA. Without NAFTA, those exports don't exist. And it doesn't mean that they can't be renegotiated, but they're not going to be nearly as renegotiated at the rate there are. U.S. farmers and exporters are fighting for the preserve their exports at a time when Canada is finding new customers and new markets. They also face strained relations with Mexico, a major buyer of U.S. corn, wheat, beef, pork, and dairy products. The U.S. is behaving so badly, it's going to create opportunities for Canadian agriculture, Iowa State University economist Dermot Hayes said. Trade flows have already begun to shift. Listen to this. This is actually some serious stuff. United States remains the dominant grain supplier to Mexico, yet Mexico imported 583,000 metric tons of corn from Brazil in 2017, a 980% jump over the previous year. You don't think Mexico is that Trump's words and actions are having an effect? A 980% jump in imports from Brazil. You know where we're, that 980% came from? Where the difference is? Why Brazil was able to get more of the market? Because they're taking less of our product. Period. That is, there is consequences for this stuff. Mexican imports of U.S. soybeans meal used for feed chickens and livestock fell 29% in the first 11 months of 2017. Trump is poisoning these markets for our agricultural suppliers. And that's just, they're just choosing to go somewhere else. And it's, and it, it, and what is really interesting is a rare 30,000 ton shipment. This is a case in point. And this is a story out of Reuters. You know, they're pretty solid on this stuff. A rare 30,000 ton shipment of Brazilian corn steamed its way in November to grain terminals in the state of Veracruz, Mexico. Despite the steep decline in U.S. corn prices, with stocks sitting at a historic high, the buyer paid a premium for the Brazilian grain, as much as $2 more per ton, according to trade sources. So they paid more for the Brazilian product just to not buy the cheaper American product. If you are a farmer right now, you just had every muscle in your body clench, because once these markets start going away, they're not going to be coming back with any speed and, you know, expedited in any way, shape, or form. And no, they're not going to renegotiate the NAFTA agreement for all these great benefits for the United States and no benefits for Canada and Mexico. They're just not. The economy of this country is not Wall Street per se. The Wall Street is, you know, a cheap casino. The meat and potatoes of this country is actually meat and potatoes. The economy is the foundation of this country's economy is the ag sectors. And whether that's cotton, whether that's oranges, whether that's wild rice, whether that's avocados, it is the ag sector which keeps this country afloat. And it is incredibly important that we do keep that element afloat. Because if it cavitates, if it falls out, that we are not looking at a 1 or 2 year recovery process. We're looking at a decade-long recovery process, and a decade-long recovery process where we're having to basically subsidize the grains to get them into foreign markets. That is what the problem is. And already Trump's actions have soured these other countries to American products, and Canada is gobbling up international market when it comes to ag. Yeah, this is going to get bad for us unless we get some kind of sense in there. Let's quickly take Jan in from Minneapolis because I got Scott Walter up next. Jan, welcome on in.
Yeah, just a quick statement. My niece has a very good job with a local agribusiness in the metro area. And about 6 months ago, they were contacted by Mexico, and they're cutting their orders in half from this agribusiness for things like soy and corn. And next year, they're not going to buy any soy or corn or wheat from the Twin City area, you know, business. They're going to Argentina and other countries. Many employees were laid off. My niece was lucky in that she got to keep her job.
I wanted
to jump in with that. Thank you.
No, thank you. Absolutely. And all my best to your family on that. That's going to play out across the country, kids. That is going to play out. And by the way, funny, you people that when we used to complain about tearing the deforesting of Brazil, and you said, oh, you eco-freaks and you guys caring about this, who cares? Well, they're clearing off land, now they're farming it, and now those crops which have been grown on the land by the torn-down rainforest are going to countries where our crops used to go. Ta-da! It's a complete cornucopia of stupidity from the right, isn't it? Absolutely. No, trust me, these ag markets, they are on edge right now because it's the great dirty secret. They all voted for Trump because he was going to get rid of NAFTA. And then the minute that they voted for him, he was like, well, he's not really going to get rid of NAFTA, is he? What are you talking about? He's going to take pride in ripping that up. And then so long, ag markets. When we do return, Scott Walter joins us. America Unearthed was the show he was on History Channel. He's doing a lot of things around town. We'll talk to him when we do come on back. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive. AM 950 listeners know I've been a big supporter of the station. I'm also a job creator. I've assembled a team of the highest quality technicians to ensure our reputation continues to grow. After all, a job creator is simply someone who responds to customer demand. That demand has remained strong at PJW because we deliver quality the first time around. See why it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Hi, Matt McNeil from AM 950. I bought my newest Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota in July, and I'm so in love with it. It's comfortable if I'm running the kids to activities or on a longer road trip. It's safe with backup cameras, blind spot protection, and the safety features Toyotas are known for. And it's fun with the bells and whistles, EcoDrive, sunroof, and so much more. I love my new Rudy Luther Toyota Sienna. Stop into Rudy Luther and test drive one yourself at 394 and 169, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis.
Warning, stand-up records may cause intestinal distress, fits of insane laughter, instant diarrhea, existential malaise, headaches, nausea, dizziness, vomiting, seasonal affective disorder, more headaches, pneumomono ultramicroscopic silicovolcanoconiosis. Stand-up records should not be handled by women who are pregnant, may become pregnant, have ever been pregnant, or personally know anyone who has been pregnant. Do not consult your doctor if he's operating heavy machinery. Stand-up records is for external application only. And stand-up records is, of course, good for a few laughs. So remember that standuprecords.com for the world's finest comedy CDs, DVDs, and merchandise. That's standuprecords.com. The revolution will be hilarious.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 13. Tonight, clear with a low around 3. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 28. And Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 33. At Common Ritz Cafe, they serve handcrafted food made with the best local and organic ingredients available. Their kitchen and bakery strive to create an innovative menu of seasonal offerings. Plus, all their food waste is composted, too. Common Ritz Cafe is located at 2558 Lindale Avenue South in Minneapolis. Details at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Oh, stop on by Common Roots Cafe. Love their breads. They're just delicious. 2558 Lindale Avenue South is where you'll find them. The eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. By the way, thanks for everyone who's watching us on the live stream feed. Go to Facebook, am950radio.com on Facebook. You can watch the show. It's radio for your eyes. Hello, and thanks for watching today. If you've been with us for a while, the next guest is someone you remember, Scott Wolter. Hosted America Unearthed on History Channel for 3 seasons. It is one of the best shows. To give you an idea how good this show was, my son, on his walls in his room, and I joke you not, has 3 celebrities hanging up. He has the Avengers, he has David Ortiz, and he has Scott Walter's photo hanging up on the wall. He absolutely loved the show. We love the show. It was a great show on History Channel. He has still been working around doing the research and looking into the mysteries of America. He's kind enough to join us today to talk about what he's been up to. Scott Walter, thank you very much for the time again.
Well, thank you for having me, Matt. You've got quite a son there. He's got a bright future ahead of him.
He's an A student. I tell you what, the heroes of the smart kids are people like you, Scott. That's for sure.
Well, that's really great. I appreciate that. And tell him I appreciate his support. That's really nice.
Of course, America Unearthed was on History Channel. 3 seasons it went. That was a great show. It did come to an end here, but it was just a great show, just a lot of content, because as we talked about when you were on the air and we were doing those shows, you really looked at a lot of these mysteries under the scientific veil. It was not about just, do I want to believe it? It was, is there a scientific evidence for us to believe it?
Absolutely, and that was, you know, that was at the core of everything we tried to do was, you know, this is, like you said, a great theory, a great idea. I'd love for this to be true. But, you know, is there evidence to support it? And, you know, that was the goal, to try to figure that out. And by the way, just, you know, it's interesting. You know, we went for 3 seasons. We were actually on H2 and we never got canceled. What happened was they sold the network. They sold the channel.
That's right.
And so we lost our home. And but you know what? All I'll say is stay tuned. There may be coming more down the pike, and we'll keep you posted on that.
I hope so, because, like I said, I just loved one of the reasons your show was so much better than the stuff like Ancient Aliens and stuff is because, you know, there was no meat and potatoes there. And, I mean, I'll give you a great example is when you did the Aztec pyramid in Georgia. And you were doing the testing on the paint and the pigments there. I mean, there's a scientific quality to that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the thing was, you know, and this was a very unique species, if you will, of clay, this palygorskite, which is extremely rare, but yet is found in Georgia. And, you know, it's a simple test to see, is this the same mineralogy, the same species of mineralogy that's found down in the Mayan culture? And bang, it was. So if you have something that's that important to a culture, you got to remember these people, you know, using this Maya blue pigment was a sacred thing. And they would go to whatever means necessary to get it. And if you had a reliable source and it meant you had to go to Southern Georgia to get it, you go there. And, you know, I don't know why that's such a hard thing for people, you know, to handle. And to me, it's okay. The evidence says they did it. They did it. Done.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, it was so infuriating because there was a story that was out about a jawbone that was found that predates, that shows that humans came out of Africa earlier than the anticipated 100,000 years old earlier. And it almost seems like, well, if it's stumbled upon accidentally within the realms of one of these big universities, okay, then it becomes fact. But if someone like yourself comes through, does their own research and doesn't do it, and it doesn't have necessarily the provenance of a Harvard or Yale scientist saying, I verify it, even though your science and you stand by your numbers and you stand by your science with it, that there's a tendency within the culture of scientists and people, anthropology and history of that nature, that they don't want to believe it just because, well, it didn't come from MIT or it didn't come from Oxford. And that's just such bull, because your show did such a good job of going out and explaining, I'm not just going to put stuff out here for out here sake. I'm putting stuff out here because science is helping us make it sense of it all.
Well, you bring up a good point, and I really like to be careful when I talk about this, that certain elements of academia will take a position that really doesn't make any sense. And, you know, one of the things I was criticized for was, well, your data can't be correct because you're not a PhD academic. Well, no, I'm not. But on the other hand, I work in the professional world, and I would argue that the standard that I have to meet is higher than academia. And I'll give you an example. A lot of the work that we do in the forensic field involves things where people died. I mean, one of the projects that I worked on, that I probably the one I'll be remembered for most, is we did all the forensic work on the fire damaged concrete at the Pentagon after 9/11. And I didn't go out there and market that work to try to get it in. I received a call from the government, from the military, that said, you have been assigned to the Pentagon. Now, I don't think that they did that because they like me and I'm a nice guy. I want to believe that they did that because they thought we knew what we were doing. And, you know, the bar that I have to meet is not the consensus of my peers. It's to be able to testify in a court of law under oath. And like I said, to me personally, I believe that's a higher standard than the academic standard, but yet that's not good enough for them. There's more going on here than meets the eye. Let's put it that way.
Academic resentment. That's me saying it, not you. That's me saying it. But I'll put that out there. One of the things you've been working on, and I saw this, it's a wonderful blog post, and I want to go to Scott Wolter Answers, and it's Wolter, is W-O-L-T-E-R, Scott Wolter Answers at blogspot.com. You've been working, first of all, congratulations, Kensington Runestone, you were up there. They got what looks like a beautiful visitor center they just opened up there earlier this year to talk about the Kensington Runestone, that great artifact they found in northern Minnesota.
That's right, and we've known about this for a while, but we just kept it quiet. You know, it's one of those things where God, I'm not going to believe it till I see it, and sure enough, it was completed, and it's a beautiful center. It's out at the Ullman Farm where the runestone was found, and it's set back into the, you know, the hillside. It's not this great big overbearing thing that's sort of takes away from the ambiance of the Ullman Farm, which is just a beautiful natural Cayman kettle topography. And, you know, that's where the runestone was found. And, you know, it's in my opinion, the runestone, the Kensington runestone, is the most important historical artifact that was ever found on this continent. It represents the beginning of the founding of the United States of America. Many people don't truly understand that, but it's true. And for some reason, when you utter the word Templars, some people just scoff and roll their eyes, or they're fearful of it. It's what many people are. But if you stop and look at it logically, they're the only people who had the means, the ability, and the motivation to come over here and establish a new homeland after being persecuted and tortured and burned and outlawed. So, and 1362 is not the Viking Age. People are so, they attach the Vikings to this artifact. The Viking Age was over in Scandinavia by 1066. Mm-hmm. They are not Vikings. And if it's not them, then who are the only logical candidates that could possibly have done it? The Knights Templar and nobody else.
Well, and even if you went out there and said, okay, some guy just got blown off course and found the, you know, came out, was out in Europe, found the North American continent, found the St. Lawrence Freeway, then proceeded to trek up the Great Lakes and was there, you know, at some point he's going to come to shore and he's just like, I'm just trying to find some way to survive, catch a fish, build a shelter. They're not going to have the purpose behind what you break down. And one of the things that, there's a blog post here, it's a long one, and I don't know if we'll have the time to get into it, but I'll encourage people to go read this, where you've done additional research on this, and there are some number issues with the runestone, which basically back up your points.
Yeah, absolutely. And first off, you know, this guy that might have got, you know, lost on his way and ended up on the shores, I can guarantee you one thing. In 1362, there is no way in anything that you're going to get anywhere near Kensington, Minnesota, which is the geographic center of the continent, unless the Native Americans let you. And the one thing that also makes people's, strikes fear in their hearts is that maybe the Templars weren't the good Roman Catholic, you know, monks that everybody thought. In fact, the research we found is that they actually embraced an ideology that was compatible with Native Americans. And that makes sense, because the only way that you're going to get here, you're not going to fight your way across this continent at that time. You have to travel with the natives. That's a very important thing. I've actually reached out to them, mm-hmm. and they know. But that's another story we can come back to. But the numbers that you're talking about is what I've called the ritual code. And actually, Matt, the way that came about was after I became a Freemason and I was going through one of the York Rite rituals. In one of the degrees, the lecturer talks about the eight arches were built by 22 men from Gebel. And I'm probably the only person in the world that would recognize those numbers instantly as being the first two numbers on the Kensington runestone. And it turns out that when you go through this ritual all the way through, all the numbers on the Kensington runestone appear. And so this prompted me to dig a deep dive into the numbers on the runestone. And what I've concluded is that some of the inscription is to be taken literally, but most of it is allegory. I mean, we were fishing one day, really? They were probably fishing every day to sustain themselves. It has to mean something else, and it does. It's amazing. And one last point on the numbers and the whole ritual code and the allegorical aspect of the runestone. It also explains why academics for over 120 years have struggled with this inscription. Because to be quite honest with you, you have to sort of take a step back and realize that you don't know everything to sort of let this information come to you. Mm-hmm. And the ones I've interacted with, they're not able to do that.
The obviously, once again, I highly encourage you to read Scott's books. You can go to hookedx.com, hookedx, H-O-O-K-E-D, the letter X.com. HookedX is where you'll find all of his books there, and they go through a lot of these issues, and of course, once again, his a blog as well that will help you kind of keep track of this. Is it one of those things where just because of Nicolas Cage's movie, anytime you say Knights Templar, or because people, you know, we had some, you know, kind of mysterious things, the Dan Brown books and stuff like this. Is it just, mm-hmm. is there any way that, you know, we can kind of convince people that just because you bring up Templars, like you say, the Vikings? Well, no, this wasn't the Vikings that did this. Even though that's Minnesota historical lore, we love to think about the Scandinavians
right.
coming over and doing this.
Yep.
It wasn't. Yep. Is there no. any way, you know, it's got to be frustrating when the first thing you have to do is dispel all the popular cultural myths that have went along with this to basically try to get to the point. So now let's talk brass tacks.
Well, yes, it is frustrating, but you know what? One of the things that gives me confidence and gives me, you know, makes me feel comfortable is that in the end, at least my experience has been that eventually the truth will rise to the top. The facts will always win. And, you know, what we're dealing with here are human beings, people that have ideas, agendas. They've got things that they're trying to protect. And quite frankly, when it comes to the Knights Templar, all the things that we thought we knew about the Templars historically is quite frankly wrong. So if you're talking about academics in this case, or anyone that's doing research on them who truly don't really understand who they're talking about, I mean, people tend to push back, or they just don't want to deal with it. Who wants to admit that they don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the first thing that anybody has to do when dealing with a situation that they don't have their head around, is to say, okay, you know what? Maybe I need to take a step back and ask for help. And I'll tell you what, anybody that wants to ask me for help, I'll give it to them. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, you know, I think the one of the missing pieces to this whole mystery is the Native American cultures, because all these people that we were talking about on America on Earth, all these cultures that came here, who do you think they ran into once they got here?
Yeah.
And so obviously there was You know, during the time of the founding of our country, natives were persecuted. I mean, the word is genocide. Let's just say it. You know, we have to face up to that and acknowledge it. And I'll tell you what, when you do that, the native people that I've interacted with are just like anybody else. Mm-hmm. You treat them with respect, you know, honor their culture and listen. You'd be amazed. They come right out and they say, you know what? It's time we shared what we know. And those Templars, they call them their blood brothers. Mm. Now, how come we've never heard that before? How come academia hasn't gone down that road? Well, part of the reason is because natives don't trust them. You know, the Smithsonian digging in their burial mounds and all of these things. But you know what? It's like anything else. Even though you go through a tough experience, if you really show people that, you know, you want to make it right and you want to treat them with respect, you'll be surprised what you get back. And that's not a novel concept. That works with anybody.
HookedX.com is where you'll find the books. Scott Wolter Answers, Scott Wolter Answers at blogspot.com. I'll link to both of those. And of course, on Twitter, it's Real Scott Wolter. You can, we'll put those on, we'll link to it on all these on the social media a little bit later on. One final thing here. Are you really good at football? How did you get wrapped in here? You're playing a
Hey, pal, hold on a sec here, okay? I went to UMD on a football scholarship, okay? I played 4 years. We won 2 championships. And then I played 4 years of minor league ball. And that was a blast for the Minneapolis Lumberjack, and then Minneapolis Lumberjacks. But in 1993, I went over with a bunch of guys to play some teams in Ireland. And we played 3 games in 10 days, and it was fantastic. I think we drank some beer, too. But anyway, Dave Stevens, who is currently right, he's in the cities right now. He's a guy who was born without legs. And he's an inspirational guy. He plays football. He plays basketball. He does everything. And I went over there with him, and he and I became really good friends. And so he called me and said, hey, we're coming there to do this Wounded Warriors charity football game. Can you still play? I said, bring it, baby. I'll be there, and we're going to be running around, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So if people can make it, come on over to Concordia College on Wednesday from 6 to 8. It's going to be a lot of fun. And by the way, I still got it.
Oh, what did you play? What was your position at UMD?
I was a linebacker.
Oh, God. Okay. I'm not going to mess with you. All right.
I was also the second string kicker, and I was the long snapper, the first team long snapper. So when our long snapper went down and everybody was panicking, I'm saying, see, we're more valuable. The only time you ever notice the long snapper is when he screws up, right?
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. And I never heard about the screw-ups at UMD on the long snapping, so I'm going to give you clearly one of the great long snappers
Thank
of all
you
time.
Very much.
Concordia College, 6 to 8, that's on Wednesday, correct?
Yep.
All righty.
Yep, Wednesday night.
And that goes out and helps out the Wounded Warriors Foundation. If you can be out there, please do. Make a donation. Help on out. Scott, absolutely wonderful to have you back. Let's have you back again in a few months here, because I sure love talking with you.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate the support. And like I said, stay tuned. There's more good stuff coming. In fact, we're working right now on the best story I've ever been involved in, and that includes every episode of America on Earth. It's going to be good, and I'll let you know when we can talk about it.
I look forward to it. Thank you very much. Scott Wolter, once again, Real Scott Wolter on Twitter. Thank you very much, Scott, and all my best
all
on
right,
Wednesday.
Thanks,
don't get
Matt.
Hurt.
I really appreciate it.
Don't get hurt on Wednesday. We'll talk to you soon.
Don't
okay?
worry, pal. I'll be fine.
All righty. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. 6 unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the 6 locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
Moe's Tax Service on Ford Parkway in St. Paul has been preparing tax returns since 1971. They're one of the most successful independently owned tax services in the country with a diverse team of highly trained and screened tax preparation experts. Tax laws and forms are always changing, and you need someone who is a dedicated tax preparation professional. Visit www.moestax.com. That's M-O-H-S-Tax.com. Or give them a call, 612-721-2026. Moe's Tax Service. They work for you, not the IRS.
Congratulations, you survived the holidays. Now what about cleaning up that holiday mess? Fortunately, right now is the best time of the year to call Zero Res and let their professionals do their empowered water thing. Why? Because Zero Res is having a holiday hangover sale. This month you can get three-room Zero Res clean starting at only $119. Plus this month you can still get a great deal when you get your air duct Zero Res clean. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Yes, international movement.
I absolutely, Scott is just fantastic. And if you get the chance to see America Unearthed, that was a great show on History 2. It was on H2 for many years. It really is just a top-notch show. And I really did enjoy it. So, like I said, there are a lot of things that I was skeptical of that I believe more of now because of Scott Walter, because he actually did do the science behind it. So, one final thing I want to say here from a few conversations I had this weekend amongst Democrats. I'm going to put my new mantra out for the year. Get over it. All right. And this is what I'm going to say, because it goes out to both sides of the party, the more progressive side, the more moderate side, because I've heard from too many people that either we can't have primaries, we just go with who we tell you to, and that's there. That's wrong. No, we should have primaries. We should have discussions. We should have caucuses. We should have debate on who are our candidates. That is where we get to. But there's also this mentality that I've heard from the progressive side, which is the idea that unless the progressives are taken and put into power in mass, that somehow that the Democratic Party is a fraud and that we should walk away. No. We need to have a discussion. We can have there are a lot of progressive issues the Democratic Party needs to re-embrace and push forward. We have the framework of the Democratic Party that has been successful in the past comes from the more traditional elements of the party. We merge those together and we can become unstoppable. What stops us is our own selves. And this idea that it's got to be my way or the highway has to end. Have the debate, have the primary, have the caucuses, have a discussion, come together. And then regardless of whether of your person or becomes the nominee or not for the Democrats, move forward and help that person get elected into office. Enough with this, I'm taking my toys and going home. No, enough. Get over it. I don't trust anyone that says, I'm going to sit this election out, because I think you're Russian at this point. Either you're Russian or you're being controlled by them. Because you know what? We have already seen what that status does. And it basically gives us Donald Trump. And all you people that were out there saying, well, I'm going to sit back and, you know, I'll let the world collapse. Well, yeah, good thinking. You sure is hurting a lot of people. I know a lot of dreamers that would like to have a discussion with you right now. No. We need to have a discussion, but when candidates are picked, we need to solidify behind them and move forward. I will be voting Democrat this coming election. Absolutely. Mike's up next. Till tomorrow. See ya.